day when heaven was filled with His praises. One day when sin was as black as it could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. He dwelt among men, my Redeemer is He. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last, the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac and Jacob, the meek and humble lamb. He's the wonderful counselor. He is the I Am. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on the tree. Suffered in anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sin. My example is He. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last, the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac and Jacob, the meek and humble lamb. He's the wonderful counselor. He is the I Am. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. That He arose, over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord evermore. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last, the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac and Jacob, the meek and humble lamb. He's a wonderful counselor. He is the I Am. He's the wonderful counselor. He is the I Am. The wonderful counselor. He is the I Am. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, I'll say this here before reading. We've got a lot of comments and all on the messages we've just finished on Melchizedek, who it is and why it is. I mean, I've heard a lot on that internet and so on, so forth, from all over the world. Say, so evidently we were right on then on that message. Praise the Lord. Amen. Showed the closing out of the age for the Jews in here, but there's also a closing out of the age for the church age. Say. Amen. And the church age is a time period that we go through before we get back to the original, like it was before church age begun. Say. So, therefore, today we're going to speak on God finishing His plan of redemption. How Christ finished the plan of His redemption. Let's say it that way. And then we're going to go into different scriptures. And I want to tell you kind of what we're going to be ministering on, my thoughts here, and then we'll go from there, and it won't be fuzzy in your mind as which way we're going and what we're speaking about. But I want to speak on this today, and I've been getting a lot of people asking me about something that's in the Word of God that's kind of maybe that seems to be out of place a little bit. Amen. Now, Melchizedek, we got that cleared up and all, and the Lord blessed and showed how it went. But we find in the book of Revelation a lamb that has seven eyes and seven horns, a bloody lamb, which is the seven spirits of God, the Word says there, and all. Well, we know there is no such creature. Amen. And we know when Jesus come back to earth, we're not going to see someone with seven eyes and seven horns. Amen. So it has to do with a time period. It's something that God put in there to reveal the truth to us, to give us the interpretation as to what it means. Now, when Jesus come back, He's going to be a human being. According to the book of Acts there, you get in the first chapter and also the third chapter, He'll come back in like manner. And He is a person. And He will sit on the throne. He will be the King of the earth. Amen. And He haven't been here since He left. Amen. And He won't be back until the time He's going to sit on the throne. Now, you get this in the book of Isaiah, where that when Jesus comes, amen, His feet will touch Mount Olives, Zechariah 14 chapter, and He'll come right back to this earth, see. Amen. And they asked Peter about Jesus. It's the third chapter of the book of Acts. And Peter says the heavens must receive Him. He must stay in the heaven until the time of restitution, till God began to claim the earth back, till He comes back to earth. Now, having said that, I would like to say this. There's been many people saw images of Christ. Amen. And Christ has spoke to many people through time. And it was as real as if He were right here speaking, yet He has not come back and will not until the time He gets ready to start the millennium, see? Amen. Even Paul saw Jesus in the temple and said, Paul, depart from this place, they'll not receive you. But what he saw was an image of Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, Christ came down, as we've just gone through in the past three services, in a form of Melchizedek, which was the Word even before Christ was born. And the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians says Christ was that rock that followed them in the wilderness. You know, when Moses, they got out of water over there, and there was a rock, and Moses smote that rock, and water came out. Amen. They all drank from the rock in the wilderness. Well, that was a type of Christ. He was smitten on Calvary, and He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and so on. So that was Christ's manifestation back then. Amen. But the real Christ didn't come till He was born of the Virgin Mary, see. Amen. He grew up as a man and all, and then He went into heaven. When He came, was crucified, and went down, loosed those in prison, amen, that died in the Old Testament. We got it last week, that covenant, the law could not take away sin, and so forth, but it just revealed that we were sinful and need a Savior. Jesus came and saved, and He went down, delivered, and brought forth the Old Testament saints, and was here 40 days and nights, walking around with the disciples. He even ate with them. And talk with them. But then, the first chapter of the book of Acts says He led them out to Bethany and blessed them. And while he spake, amen, a cloud received him out of their sight. And they were standing looking up, seeing Jesus go up. And two angels came and said, this same Jesus, he'll come back in like manner. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And Peter said in the third chapter then that the heavens must receive him until, in other words, he's not going to be back here anymore until he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with his wife.
Yeah.
And that begs the question now, how come people see Jesus? And a vision, but it's only a vision. Not too many years ago, we were ministering in a little church in South Carolina. There was a sister there. Her name's Martha Sugarett. You can still ask her about it, and she will tell you what happened. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her and says, I'm going to show you a vision. Or this is a vision. And all of a sudden, she was there in church. And I was preaching away like I do. I was getting in it real good. But she noticed people looking back and smiling. Now she said, now that's not nice, be looking back while Brother Ben's preaching like that. Looking back. But her curiosity got her. So she looked back too. And there sat the Lord Jesus Christ just nodding his head at everything I said. Amen. Did Jesus come back from heaven do it? No, it was a visionary projection of Christ. Amen. Just like Brother Brown, when he was praying one night, and the Lord came, and there was just hanging in the cloud, just above the ground, 10 or 12 feet above the ground. He looked and he saw a robe on, waving in the wind and all. And he was looking at Jesus, and Jesus looked around at him, and when he did, he just passed out, see. Well, did Jesus come to earth to do that? No, that was a projection of Christ. He's not going to come back until redemption is over and completed and finished. How many can say amen to that? How many sees it? Now, in one of the church ages there, Martin, I believe in the third church age, I believe it was, if I remember right, he was a soldier. He was a real man of God. He was walking on his beat at night, and there laid a beggar, almost froze to death. And Martin said, if I could give him my coat, I'll freeze. So he took his sword and cut that coat, long coat, half in two, and he took and laid it on the old beggar there, laying freezing to death. And that night when his shift was over, he went home, and he went to bed. And all of a sudden he looked around, there stood Jesus with part of that old coat on that he put on that beggar. As you do it, the least of these. Amen. Well, it begs the question, did Jesus come from heaven to do it? No, he projected an image. And it's just as real. Just like in the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace there. When he looked in, they threw three in there, but he looked and saw the fourth man. Was it the image of Jesus, and he stopped that fire from burning them, and they came out with victory. So having said that, the reason I want to say that is that John saw an image of a lamb that had seven eyes and seven horns. And John saw an image of one walking in the midst of seven candlesticks as a high priest, making intercession. Well, that was for a church age, see. That's the way he projected himself during that time period. But no, he hadn't come to earth. He hadn't walked around as high priest for seven church ages, see. That was an image that was projected to give us the truth for this day. Praise God. Amen. How many sees it? Praise God. So he's going to finish his work and cut it short in righteousness. He's going to close out the age. And the reason I brought all that in first is this. As when we read about Jesus doing certain things in certain ways and speaking certain ways, see, I want you to realize that he didn't come down from heaven just to do that, see. And maybe some of you have saw the Lord Jesus, and maybe he has spoke to you. He has me in a dream, but not in reality, in the sense of the being person like that. But he's still in heaven, sitting on the Father's throne. Say, how many believe it? Amen. So whatever experience you have of that nature, you can't say the Lord Jesus, He came all the way down from heaven and He got off His throne up there and He came down here and He talked to me. No, He projected an image of Himself. As He did in the Old Testament, as He did through Melchizedek. Amen. But that lovely Jesus, the one we're looking for. Hallelujah. As we sung the song, some golden day breaks, that's when He's going to come, say. And then it won't be an image. It won't be a vision. He'll be right there real. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let me get on my script here now. I'm sorry I took a few minutes there, but I wanted to do that first. But let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless, we pray, as we read Your Word. May, Lord, we get the benefits of that You've ordained for us to have this day. We'll be careful to praise You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, Romans, it's 9:25. It reads like this, as He saith also in Osee, it's the place He was speaking to the prophet, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. That's talking about the Gentiles, how He's going to bring the gospel over to the Gentiles. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Amen. In other words, just the remnant. Not a lot, but the remnant, which always. Verse 28 says, for He will finish the work. Now, I want you to notice that. Finish the work. And cut it short in righteousness. And that's not a contradiction, it's kind of a paradox. Finish it and cut it short. Amen. In other words, it's going to be a quick work, as He said. But it will get done. All that He's ordained will take place. All right. Cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. As Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath has left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been at like unto Gomorrah. In other words, there don't matter how bad things get, God's still going to have a seed yet. That's why He's saying, how many believe it? This world, it gets so bad, yet among all that, there's a seed, there's some life that keeps coming through, say. Praise God. Amen. And it's just like the life coming through a stalk of corn. I would like to stop and inject this before I finish my reading, if you'll permit me to, because I might not think of it as we go a little later, or it might slip my mind here. But I want you to think about a grain of corn. Amen. It has a certain life in it. It's germatized. If it has been grown right, and the tassels has not been disturbed or cut off the corn, and let the pollen go fall on those silks. Now, in a stalk of corn, the life is both male and female, as with most plant life. See, there's three kinds of life. There's animal life, as which we're part of that realm. And then there's marine life. And then they live in the water, see. Amen. You get to take them out of the water, they die. You put us in the water, we'll die. See? Amen. You see what I mean? The three. But then there's plant life. And most all species has male and female. See, most all species. Whether you're talking about birds, whether you're talking about fish, or any type of the animals, those first two forms of life, it's male and female. But when you come to plant life, see, you've got the male life and the female life in the same stalk. Amen. And that's why there's a necessity of a pollination period, see. Amen. You take corn now. We used to raise corn, and I'm acquainted with how to hybrid it and how to make it bring forth better corn, but you take the life out of it when you mix it too much. See, you know, you get hybrid corn. I've got a friend down in Watkinsville, Brother Curtis Hammond, and he says, tell me a story, and he says, Brother Ben, my father sent off and ordered, and this was long about the turn of the century, he said my father sent and got some seed from a seed company, and it was corn seed, and says, he knew nothing about hybriding and all that, and hardly any of the farmers did. But said he planted this corn, and it made some of the best corn. It growed up, and each stalk would have many ears of corn on, and it was so big and beautiful. Said all the farmers wanted some of his seed. He said, "No, I'm not gonna let this get away." But he planted a couple of years, it got so it wouldn't bring forth anything. Amen. Because he hybrid it, it was not in its original state. You hybrid something, it kills it, say. Amen. It may look better. Now, I used to plow a mule all the time in growing up. Now, a mule is a cross between a mare and a donkey, you know. But a mule cannot beget another mule. It's hybrid. But that thing will work you to death. If you follow a mule all day with a plow, at the end of the day, you can say, I've done a hard day's work, see. Amen. It's hybrid. It's bred for that, see. But it can't bring forth another mule, see. Amen. You've never heard of a mule begetting another mule, see. Amen. Unless it was just a freak or something, because that is hybrid. Well, the same thing with the corn. You have two different strands of corn. They can be good corn. Both of them can. But you can cut the tassels out of one kind and let, when it begin to pollinate, and let that pollen from this tie blow over and get in this other corn. And each grain of corn has a silk to it, and that silk is hollowed. And that pollen, now you can see the tassels on it. We say tassels here, but I think the proper word would be tassel. So you can take it if you're in the city or country, it'll fit, you see. But it put off a little fuzz or something, dust. It's so fine that you can't see it, but you walk among it and your eyes begin to burn. You'll begin to sneeze, especially when the wind begin to blow a little bit. And oh, but what it does, it falls right on those silks of the corn. See, God planned it in such a way that at the very time the silks come out into that ear of corn, it's tousling at the same time. And at a certain time when it's just right, and that fuzz or that dust, we'll say, that dust fall from the silk, from the tassel onto the silks, each silk hollow will suck that into the grain of corn, and that germatizes the corn. You can plant that corn, it'll come up, see. It'll be original unless you hybrid, but you can't hybrid it in that. But if you just cut it off altogether, forget about it. Amen, because it's not fertile. See, because the male, that's the male life coming down into that. Amen. It germatize and get that grain, get that corn where it can produce another. Amen. When you put it in the ground, you get that. In other words, if we brought it into the human realm and the reproduction realm of the other two species of life, then it would be like a male and female coming together. Amen. And there's a little baby grain of corn, see. And you plant it in the ground, then it come forth. It'll make, say. Amen. So that's, I will explain this, and I've told this story before, and I don't want to make it a long one here, because I was down in Athens preaching near Athens there. Well, we had a man come in. He visited. He was a head of the agriculture department for the University of Georgia. And he came and sat down. He visited some of the churches around about, just basically to stay in good standing, I guess, with the the neighborhood and all, because he worked among them some. So he'd visit maybe each church, a different church from time to time. So he just happened to come in the church I was preaching that morning. He didn't come specifically to hear me because he didn't know I was going to be there. But I got on this and began to explain this, and he had a notebook there, and he began to write. He was just writing like one thing, you know. And I thought to myself, when I looked over and noticed him doing, I said, oh, he's going to get me when I get through preaching. So when I got through preaching, he came out and he says, "Preacher, I'd like to shake hands with you." Said, "I am," he told his name, I forgot what it was, "I am head of the Agriculture Department of the University of Georgia." Said, "What you preached on this morning, that's what I'm going to be dealing with next week." And I was he said this. He says, "I was really dreading it because I didn't quite have it all together." He said, "But now after hearing you, I can't wait to get there and teach that." Amen. I see it, see. Amen. But what I'm getting at here, that life that's in that little grain, it comes through a stalk. And see, that stalk is absolutely necessary. The life, it comes through that stalk in the form we call it sap. It comes through there, that life that was in that seed come through the sap. Now this is typing out the church ages, see. That's not the original. You won't get back to the grain. When you plant the grain of corn, you plant to get more corn, unless you're going to put it in a silo or something. But you plant beans, you plant to bring it back to beans. You don't plant to get a stalk, see. Hallelujah. But the stalk is 100% necessary because it's a carrier of that life to bring it back to the original again. And that's what the church ages has been. From the time the church fell away, amen, from the purity of the word, it used to be a church that didn't belong to a denomination. There was no Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, and 800 other different names. There was none of those. Amen, that's a product of, that's a stalk product. But it was necessary. The life came on through, on through, on through, on through. But it says it will come back to the seed again. "I will restore," he said. We're to be restored back to the original word just like it started out. Amen. Now, all this other was necessary. Amen. But it comes through that. Now, watch. When the corn, after the tassel, make the pollen that falls in on those silks, and the silk sucks that pollen into it, there's something happened to that stalk. Now notice this. Because immediately, but just no sooner than the pollination hit, that stalk began to die. You'll look at the bottom of that corn stalk. The leaves on it, the fodder on it, it'll all begin to die. It has served its purpose. Now catch that, what I just said then. It has served its purpose, and you cannot, irregardless of what you do, go back and make that same stalk produce more corn again. When it begin to die, death set in. It dies, and the life has gone in the grain. The life that was in that grain that you planted in the ground is now in this life of here, but it had to come through that stalk to get there. See? How many see that? Amen. That's what this has done. We've come through the dark ages. We've come through the church ages. We've come through the seven messengers. We've come through all these things, and we can't go back there because there's no life there. That's just a stalk. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is finishing the work He started. He's cutting it short in righteousness. Amen. And now here Christ, amen, is back among us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. I got excited there. I hope I got all that in. Amen. But how many sees the life had to come through the stalk? Now, I want to say this one more time before I move on with this. The stalk don't look nothing like what went in the ground. How many hear what I'm saying now? The stalk don't look nothing like what you put in the ground. The church ages and the denominational systems of our day, don't look nothing like what the church was in the Bible days. They were led by the Holy Ghost. They didn't join. Amen. They didn't have all this flowery stuff with priests with the robes on and all that. Amen. That's paganism in our day and in our time. See, the life had to come through that, but we've come through it. We go back to the original. Hallelujah. We got that last week where Jesus, He didn't come of the order of the high priest. Amen. Where they had all this paraphernalia, all this change around the neck. Amen. A lot of times you'll see these priests, some of them, with a big chain around their neck and a big cross hanging on it. Amen. Look like a log chain wrapped around their neck. Amen. Glory to God. That ain't the way they did in the Bible days. Amen. They met together and they believed God, and the power of God fell. The dead was raised, the sick were healed, and the power of God was among them, see. Amen. But then when that seed began to come out and express itself in a stalk period, wheat and tares began to grow together, and they made a denomination, and they call that the church. It don't look nothing like church, but here it is again, back to the original. Back to that of grain. Amen. It's not hybrid. It's the real thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how many sees, like when the Bible says Jesus walked among the candlesticks? Well, that was He, when the church fell away, going to that stalk age, He had to make intercession for them. Amen. They lived on the mercy of God. Hallelujah. But the early church, fourth chapter of the book of Acts, about verse 30 or along there, He put great grace upon that church. They weren't living on the mercy. He put grace upon them. When you're pleasing Him, He can only say, I'm proud of you. Hallelujah. It's when you're not pleasing Him, that's when you're having to live on the mercy of God, and that mercy only lasts so long. Amen. How many knows it? So we don't want to try the mercy of God. We won't come fully to the Word. Hallelujah, because He closed that age out, and there's no more bloody lamb, amen, with seven eyes and seven horns, and there's no more high priest walking among the church ages, because the seven church ages come to a close. How many believe it? Amen. At the sounding of that seventh angel, when the last church age messenger here, He finished His message. Amen. The Bible says this mystery of these ages has been completed. Hallelujah. Then it goes back to the original. Praise the Lord. I want to read that in a little bit about the lamb, but I want you to see it. But let me get on this. I finish up what I'm saying. We'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah had not the Lord left us a seed, see. But verse 30 says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. In other words, we believe God for this. Amen. We don't work for it. We believe God. We can say, I'm as righteous as He is. You know why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 31, the Bible says, He became sin for us that we would become the righteousness of God. And I believe it and I accept it. And therefore, my righteousness is by faith. Amen. It's not what I did yesterday, not what I'm doing today, and not what I'm going to do tomorrow, but it's what He did at Calvary. And because I love Him and appreciate Him, I want to please Him. And He put great grace upon me. Praise the Lord. How many sees it now? Amen. Now that stalk age where He walked among them in the candlestick, the bloody lamb. So don't look for a lamb. Jesus, don't look to see Jesus with seven eyes and seven horns. Bloody with seven eyes. No, that signifies the seven horns, seven eyes, the church age messengers and so on. And we've come through that age. It's finished. Hallelujah. The age of end. We're at the end time. We're back to the original. We're back to the grain again. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now our righteousness come by faith. Verse 31 says, but Israel, the Jews, which followed after the law of righteousness, they tried to get it by the law, has not obtained to the law of righteousness. In other words, that was the law they followed out, but the Bible says, and we got it on last week's message, you got to get it. Amen. God found fault with that.
other words, it weren't perfect. He finding fault with, he made a brand new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. How many will say amen? Amen. That's why he did about these church ages. We're not in them. He's got a brand new order. It takes us back to the beginning again. And whether I know who the fifth church age messenger was or not, it's not have anything particular to do with my salvation. The main thing, if I know Jesus and the power of His resurrection for our day and our age. Yeah. Hallelujah.
I do know. It was Martin Luther, but see, that's a stalk age. That was that corn stalk as it growed up through. Amen. Brother Brown's message was that message that pollinated the grain again. And now we are back to the original. That's why we don't say common John. Amen. I ain't caring a thing in the world about my name being on but one book, and that's the Lamb Book of Life. And if it's there, it was put there before the foundation of the world, and it can't be moved. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Then we go on with this next verse. Wherefore, why'd they miss it? Watch why how they missed it. Verse 32. I'm talking about Israel as a nation. God ordained He blind the will. We find in the 11th chapter we're not going to cover now. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith. In other words, they wanted to do something to get it. Now, this is a hard thing to do, folks. Now, I don't think it's easy to believe God for righteousness, amen, without works. You're saved by grace and not by works. It's totally without works. It's believing, it's accepting. Amen. It's hard for people to accept that they're as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. They can no more die than God can die. They're as eternal as God is eternal, because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. We claim it by faith and faith alone. Amen. You know how English translates? Bob was reading the other night, listening to the tape, and then she's reading something there in the book of Hebrews, where Enoch, by faith, he was translated. Amen. No other reason, by faith. Hallelujah. There's going to be a people that has faith and be translated. First of all, if you go by works, that'll kill your faith right on the spot. Because there is not a person living today that don't stumble from time to time and do something that would hinder their faith some way or another. If you depended on your works and how good you was or how good, amen, you got to believe it's not what you're doing, but it's what He has done. Is that right? That's faith. He took your sins and gave you His righteousness. Now you believe it. Amen. Without words. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. For they stumble at the stumbling stone. And so many is doing it today, they stumble at death. You preach this word of God, gun barrel straight, just like the Bible says. People say, well, you got to do this. You got to join church. You got to do this. You got to have your communion. You got to have this. You got to have that. And the time they get through telling you what all you got to have, then you wonder who can make it. Yeah. Is that right? Amen. They stumble. They could not believe that what Jesus did at Calvary was all sufficient to cleanse them from all sin. Amen. And cause them to start their walk with God. So they stumble at it. Amen. When the apostles come by preaching that, them religious people, they threw them in jail. They whipped them and beat them. Amen. But to show you how the Lord does, He sent an angel down. They throw old Peter in jail. He's going to kill him at the Sabbath. But they put him in the inner, the maximum security department. And somewhere said that it took about three people to get through to open the maximum security. In other words, one person couldn't do it. Because it had to go through the different channels. Each one had to agree on that. But here, and it finished up by a big iron gate. Amen. But old Peter laying there sound asleep. I tell you, he had peace, didn't he? They're going to kill him the next day. Man, I ain't going to stay awake and talk about it. Hey, it'll be me a good day. It'll be me a shortcut to glory. I'm going to rejoice.
And he just fell off sound asleep. All of a sudden, someone touched him. There stood an angel of the Lord. Said, Peter, rise, put on thy sandals and follow me. Peter did that, and they got to that. They got to the gates, and they opened on their own accord. They got that big iron gate where nobody could open. Amen. The old gate got scared and backed away. Peter walked through and he looked around. He was free. And he looked around to see the angel to thank him for it. He was gone. Amen. That's the power of God. That's the early church. Amen. That's after it come to the stalk age. Amen. We're back to the original seed again. Now God's closed that age off and cut it off. It's finished. When that you pluck that corn, amen, you don't go around in your corn patch and tie ribbons to all the corn and write a history on all of it and say, oh, isn't this a pretty stalk of corn? It did this, and it made so many ears of corn. That's what people are doing about with organization. John Wesley, which started the method, he came forth a mighty man of God. With a revival, shook the nations. Amen. Then John and Charles wasn't in here. Old Billy Sunday, if you've ever read about him, came through up here in West Virginia and Kentucky, riding. He talked pretty rough, see. And he preached the best he knew for that hour, and God blessed him. But that day's over with. We don't go back and try to resurrect that. We don't go back and try to resurrect John Campbell, started the Baptist. He was a good man. He had the power of God. Amen. But he died and went away and look what they got. A group of men formulated and got all kind of churches and everything. Amen. We don't go back and try to resurrect that. Notice, they stumble at the stumbling stone. Verse 35, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth upon him shall not be ashamed. Now he's a stumbling stone to a lot of people because they want to do some works. They want to join a church. They want to how many can we get in? God will get in as many as he wants to. We could have 5,000 people, but there's 10 people with their names on the Lamb Book of Life. We'd have 4,900 and how much? In 90, amen, that was there just for the ride. Coming along, God will lead and guide. He will draw you. The Holy Spirit will draw you. Amen. All that are His, He will bring. And He said He would lose none of them. All that the Father has given me, the Bible said, they will come. He didn't say if you'll do this or if you'll do that. No, all you do is serve God and pray for the people and live right. Amen. And oh, God will do the drawing. God will do the bringing. How many sees that? So many stumble at stumbles on. Notice he finished that work. I'm going to read a little bit here. Let's go to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I just want to show you some of the thing. Now, we're getting into stalk now. We're not getting into grain. This 96 A.D. when John wrote the book of Revelation. He was an old man, near 100 year old, but yet his mind just as good. And whatever God told him, showed him, he wrote it down. Praise God. Amen. But I want to read here. I'll start with the first chapter, just the verse 2, and then I want to move on over very swiftly. Let's begin reading the verse 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things which he saw. And then he says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein for the times of hand. Now, I want to begin approach a new era now. The church falling away here, 96 A.D. And John's going to begin to write about something that Paul didn't see nor talk about. Paul had a message for the bride.
That's what got sealed away and picked up. It's brought back to us in this last day. The seals are taken off, and now we have it. And that age are finished. It's closed out. Amen. Now we're in a brand new day where God is calling like He did in Bible day. Now notice here, verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Asia was a small place, well about the size of Indiana place. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come. And from, now watch, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now there's a revelation. He's bringing in something else. This is for the stock age. Seven spirits. God is one spirit. Amen. But the church is going to go through seven church ages, say. Amen. Now watch as we read. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins and own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God the Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever. And then, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. That's when He come back to earth. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindred of earth shall wail because Him. Even so, amen. He said, I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, the beginning and the ending. God invests all this in. Saith the Lord, which is, was, and is to come. The Almighty. The Almighty was expressed right through Christ in this form here. Now watch what He says here. I, John, your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ for the word of God and for the testimony. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, picked away in the morning, and heard behind me a voice of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, this is a church age. Amen. This, the church fell away, and we're 96 out. The stalks begin to grow now. You see the little leaves come up from the corn. Amen. This ain't the seed, you see. It's the stalk. I saw seven candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto. Now, I don't want you to hold that word, like unto. God's projecting an image in this vision. He said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the pap with a golden girdle, just like a priest. And his hair and his head were white as wool. And that's a judge. That means he's got supreme authority. White as snow, and his eyes as flame as fire. And his feet were like unto brass, and all this we got to interpret the book, so I'm not going to bear along with this. But I want you to notice this. And let's get verse 16. And had in his hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went the sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun which shines in his strength. Now I want you to notice this. Verse 19, and the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Watch, he's talking about, now hold this word, mystery. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars. Now, it's a mystery, so it will be finished when the last one comes. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, are messengers. And the seven candlesticks which thou saw are the seven churches, which signifies seven church ages. Now, I want you to go on there. There's Revelation 2 and 3 deals with a message for each one of them that correspond to them, to each church age. He walked as a high priest among them. And he says, you've kept my faith and you've done it, but I got somewhat against thee. That, verse 4 of chapter 2 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Now notice, I have somewhat against thee.
And then he goes right on in the other message I have in the second church age, or the Pergamos church age here. It's verse 14. I have a few things against thee because thou hast that doctrine of Balaam. And then he goes on, and I'm not going to try to carry through with these because it would be too long. It's in the book there. But I want you to notice when the church age is over, Jesus said, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne as I have overcome and I sit down with my Father in his throne. We have come to the place where he's accepted us. He's put his grace. He found fault with that. Just like he did the old law. Amen. So he comes in Revelation 10. Amen. And then gives us his very own righteousness. Amen. But watch chapter 5 here just a moment. This is what I was getting at early on in the message. I want to read verse 1. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now this book was already written with the revelation that God gave Paul. Not the instructions that God gave Paul for his day and his time, but the revelation concerning the translation and all these things. It was sealed up. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, saying, whose word is to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nobody could do it, nobody righteous, no man on earth, neither on the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. So John says, I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And that cuts it off for all humanity. Everything's lost. Everything's finished. There's no hope. But wait. One of the elders, watch here now what happened here. No man in heaven or no one nowhere could open the book, the seals, and so on. But watch verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, now, notice in the midst of the throne, and of the elders, of the four beasts, and of the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Now here's where I want you to get your thinking cap, get your revelation cap on. Here stood a lamb. Amen. Now, is it a lamb? No, it's a vision. John's in the vision all the way through, see. But there's revelation. There stood a lamb having been slain. That typifies Jesus Christ was slain for the sins of the world. Now watch here, but this through this church age period, this seven period, he's got to be a lamb and walk as a high priest and apply the blood as they're walking. They're under a survival message. They're living in a fallen state. They're living on the mercy of God. So that high priest's got to be there and make intercession. And this lamb, the bloody lamb, watch what it says. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth from all the earth. We know that God's one spirit. Amen. Now we know, how many know Jesus is the Lamb of God? Sure he is, but he ain't got seven eyes and seven horns, and he ain't a bloody lamb, because Jesus himself was sitting on the throne. He was the one sitting on the throne, in God's throne, in the position of God there. Amen. So John saw a bloody lamb come up. Can you imagine what a hideous creature it must have looked like? Seven horns sticking out of the head. Seven eyes. A bloody lamb as it's been in battle. It must have had hands. Because he took the book, say. And he opened it. Amen. Now I want to show you this come to a close. Jesus is never, never, ever seen in this manner any longer. Amen. This visionary thing that John saw here is over with. It's finished. Just like Melchizedek. There is no Melchizedek. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. This bloody lamb's only served. There is no such creature that exists. This was visionary. Hallelujah. Just like if I was here preaching, I look and there sat Jesus Christ in our midst. Could I say it's real? No, it would be. He would be getting the message over to me. Amen. He'd be doing something for me. What this message shows is that through the seven church ages, amen, as Christ walked around as high priest, amen, and that was visionary too because he's still on the throne. And he won't come back till it's over. All this will show that they were redeemed by the bloody lamb as they lived on the mercy of God. But last week we got it, and you might want to go back and reread it. The 10th chapter, 19th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He offered himself once to God. Amen. He entered into that holy place having obtained eternal redemption for it. It's a one-time thing. But the church fell away and went into the dark age. You went into the church age. That's where your denomination, organization, amen, all this come from today. But now he's open to see it. Wait, let me get this verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And then there was the praises in heaven. Amen. Because now the book has been transferred from the hand of the Almighty into the hand of the one that died. And then we go to the 6th chapter when the Lamb has opened one of the books, one of the seals. Thus took place and that took place. And then we see the same one, let's just turn to it real quickly, the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. It went through the opening of the seven seals which took place in 63 as seven angels came down. Amen, closed it out. Now when Christ is seen again, coming into the church, he comes in his last form. He finishes the work. Amen. It's going to be a short, quick, powerful work, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it right now. Praise God. Watch when he come back down here. Revelation 10, now he's not a bloody lamb. Please notice. And he's not in his literal body, but he comes in the form of an angel. In other words, project his presence here. Let's read Revelation 10:1. The seals took off the book now. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. That's perfectly the signs of Christ. And his face was as the sun and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he says, right foot upon the sea, left foot upon the earth. Now I want you to notice this. The book that was closed up in the hand of the Father, waiting for the seven church ages to run its course, God's going to bring every one of His seed in. He had people predestinated for every age. Some people say, I don't believe in predestination. Because it means that you're going to be saved anyway. No, predestination, God predestinate you by foreknowledge, see. Amen. Romans 8 chapter says, whom he foreknew, them he did predestinate. Amen. His foreknowledge justifies his predestination because he's done looked down through the scan of time and seen it all. Even the Lamb's Book of Life was finished before the foundation of the world. Can you say amen? So here comes this same one that John saw as a bloody lamb. He's not a bloody lamb anymore. He never will be anymore. He's not a lamb with seven eyes and seven horns. Never will be anymore. Never have been. That was visionary to show us the truth. Amen. The man Christ Jesus will come back. Hallelujah. In like manner, the same person that went up. Amen. Though he's manifested himself in different ways, he'll come back again in the same manner. Can you say amen? But here he projects the image of Christ. It's in angelical form. And what he's showing us now is something that the book's open means that age is over with. The church age is over with. It's finished. We get back to the original. Amen. And notice, he comes, brings her, and he cried with a loud voice. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. those seven that was with him. These seven completely fades out as for the bride. And when the seven sons uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven sons uttered and write them not. That's what we just looked at, a sealed book. But now it's unsealed. Hallelujah. It's open. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things which are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more. Do you see it? It don't mean time won't be for the world. It don't mean time, but this time period that was a mystery, seven church ages and all that, that time has run its course. It's over with. Denominational age is over. Stock age is over. Amen. Those stocks, you can't bring life back into them. Amen. How many believe that? I was in the church down in South Carolina, and we had an orchard there. A pecan orchard. The trees old and about ready to start falling. And the fact is, limbs broke off and just growed up around. Here comes some young guy. He's going to bring life back into them. That's what people try and do with denominations. Hey, man, the last few years, I ain't seen a single pecan. Hey, man, you don't bring life to something that died like that. God moves on to something new. All right, but watch what he says here. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery, all this mystery be finished now. Should be finished, and he's declared unto his servants the prophet. He begins a new age. He finished that age. He cut it short in righteousness. Amen. And here's a new word. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sand, which stands upon the sea and the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth as sweet as honey. And I took the book out of the angel's hands. No longer in the angel's hand, now it's in the church's hand. And it was my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said, thou must prophesy again before many, people, nations, tongues, and kings. Now I want you to watch that book that was sealed in heaven, and John was crying. He weeped much. Why? Because he looked all over heaven, all over earth, under the earth, everywhere. There wasn't a single person could take it. Not even look at it. But here comes a bloody lamb showing what Jesus did at Calvary. Took the book. Amen. And those seven eyes, seven horns signifies his working through seven church ages. Had to stay sealed for all that time. But when the seventh angel sound, the mystery be finished. But here, the open book is not in the hand of Almighty. It's not in the hand of the bloody lamb. It's not in the hand of the mighty angel. Amen. But he gives it unto John, which is a type of the church. So we've got it this day. We've become the wife of Christ. We're married to him. The Bible says his wife has made herself ready. Amen. That age has closed out. It's finished. Amen. Church age. Now we go back to the original. That's why we're not crying, come join the church. We ain't got nothing joined. Amen. Christ, the Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord's one spirit. Amen. We're joined unto him. Amen. And now it's over with. That age is, how many sees the age over with? And when Paul began to preach his message, I'm closing here. Amen. When Paul finished his message, he said, I didn't go up to Jerusalem, them that was possible for me. I didn't go here. This is Galatians chapter 1. He said, but it's revealed to me from God Almighty. And he said, I'll only speak of those things that's potent to you. That's pertinent to you, you know, things that you need. So we look back and see what that is. It's already finished. It's already over. And if I get up here, and I personally can teach every church age, the time period, and where that took place. But what would I be doing? I'd just be telling you, look at my cornfield. This corn had a lot on it. I'm going to take some ribbon out here and tie on them corn stalks.
That's finished. It's over with. It's produced its grain, and we've got it in a garner. Amen. And next year, there'll be a new crop. This year gets me, Brother Quinlan Wade used to come to church here. He said, this gets me excited. Amen. He was a countryman like me. He didn't get me excited. This gets me excited, but I want to tell you something. This is real, folks. We're at the end time. Amen. God is producing the church, the original grain, not a stalk now. The grain that was planted in the ground, it was original. It growed through the stalk period, but it come back to that original again. And there's where the life's in the grain. That's where it was supposed to be all the time. The stalk was just the carrier. And He's brought us back to the full revelation of the Word of God, the mystery of God. Give us the same ministry. And He gave us the little book, and we're eating fine. God bless you, and we're prophesying to all nations, kindred, and tongues. I'd like to ask you one question. This afternoon, as this message goes on the website, we'll be getting letters from all overseas and people here all over the world. He said, prophesy to all nations, kindred, and tongues. Preach to all nations, kindred, and tell me where it's missing. Amen. It's doing it. The little book's being fed to the people all over the world, and they're rejoicing about it. God bless you this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank God, Lord, for Your Word, for Your revelation, for Your great plan of salvation. I just pray, Heavenly Father, You'll take this Word, that You'll use it for Your glory, that it may go from nation to nation, that there be no wall that can be erected that will keep this Word out. Lord, that it will find its place in every predestinated seed that You have. Oh God, we ask in Jesus' name, believing it's so. Amen and amen.